Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 662 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is December 19th, 2021. Sorry for the late start. We had a couple technical snafus. Mainly my PC was not cooperating with me, but we are here. We are live. We are good to go. So hopefully you are hearing us just fine. And we've got a podcast. Yeah, so a lot of good things. Yeah. Hey, joining me this week, just some quick introductions. I have Kim Woods. Kim, howdy.
Howdy, howdy. Yeah, I'm glad I'm back after taking last weekend off. I didn't want to take last weekend off, but you know, shit happens. So here I am.
Shit does happen. We're glad to have you back. And also joining us, the Ginger One. And this factual, by the way, Pete, just to put perspective on this. When my wife asked who I was going to be podcasting today, with today, I said, "Oh, I'm going to be podcasting with Kim and Pete," and she's like, "Oh, the ginger one." You are legendary, my friend. You are legendary.
It's caught on to Cindy now. Hello, everyone. How we doing?
I think we're doing good. I think we're doing just fine. Our regular, I shouldn't say regular cast because you guys are certainly part of the regular cast, but some of the regulars you might come to expect, like Robin right now, he's in America. He has invaded us. I'm not sure how I feel. I feel slightly violated. Kim, do you feel the same way?
A little bit. He could at least ask for permission or something.
I know. It just so.
Bought me a drink first,
At least on my side of it, he is about as far away as possible from me in the United States. So there is that I do have quite a bit of separation. You, unfortunately, a little bit closer.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Mark, I believe is on holiday. I'm not positive. I just remember Mark saying he wasn't going to be available this weekend, and I don't recall what the reason was. So we can make up whatever reason we want. Pete, you want to take a stab at that? What would Mark's reason be for not being on the show this time?
He's kidnapping elephants from Mexico.
Kidnapping elephants from Mexico.
Apparently. That's what he said to me. He texted me last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I've never seen an elephant there, to be honest. But, you know, I don't know what he's going to pull out of the bag. Maybe we'll see next week.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, Phil Olson had a minor accident. We're calling it a minor accident. It could be major. We're not positive. But he was jamming his finger in his ear so hard that he hurt his ear. Now he has an earache. And so he just asked if he could pass on the podcast today. So we said, fine, so be it.
Mark also told me that it wasn't his finger that went into his ear.
You told me. So did Phil get ear fucked?
I think something went wrong, man.
This just took a dark turn. Outside of talking about our other hosts in disparaging ways, if you are a first-time listener to this, we are actually a video game podcast. We do like to talk about video games through the course of the show. We also talk about life, though, what's been going on with us, what's been going on with the world sometimes. We are on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. of the East Coast, and 3 p.m. in the Central. I was going to make some windy references. I decided against it, probably for the best. We are on
Robin last week.
Yeah, fair enough. we're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We also do an audio version of the podcast. So if you don't want to actually look at our beautiful faces, you can just download it to listen to while you're at the gym. Maybe you're getting fit. That's the promise, at least. Let's see. I don't believe we have any birthdays now. We have gone into the stage of there are no birthdays except for, of course, Jesus Christ, which will be coming up soon. So we'll celebrate his birthday. I don't have a birthday song for that, though. So, Pete, sing.
Jesus Christ, happy birthday. That's it. That's all I'm going to do.
Brilliant. Couldn't ask for better. Right. Couldn't ask for better. All right. I think we can get into some story time.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Story time. And I don't know if this is really my favorite time of day, but it does often produce some laughs. Pete, you haven't been on in a little while. Let's talk about what's been going on in your end of the world.
Is it 2 weeks? I think it's 2 weeks. I've not been on.
2 weeks.
Damn, I'm so sorry. But I'm back. Thank God. I'm here. I've been to the Christmas market in Birmingham, which is like, I don't know, it's the in thing to do, I think, around the West Midlands to go to the Christmas market. So we went there for one night. And one night only. I don't think I'm going to go back again because despite all of the restrictions for COVID in the West Midlands at the moment, that is not happening at the Christmas market, let me tell you that, especially the toilets. Oh, my God. I didn't see any sexual action, but
I'm a little confused. Yeah, was this something you expected?
No, because I was talking about, like, you know, like social distancing and restrictions and blah, blah, blah. But there was just nobody gives a shit, man. The toilets absolutely stank. It was almost like they'd rolled the, you call them urinals, don't you, down the hill. Like, they're just reeked.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm still a bit confused here, Pete. So you went to the Christmas markets.
Yeah.
And
looking for sex or something. I don't know. I'm confused.
What exactly are the Christmas markets? Maybe this is the first step. Help me understand the Christmas markets better.
Do you not know about the Christmas market? Okay.
No.
So have you ever heard of the German Christmas markets?
No.
Oh, okay. So
maybe
it's basically what they're doing in Birmingham every single year around the start of November. They put up all of these little log cabins all the way down like a couple of the high streets. And they sell Christmas gifts from them, and they sell Frankfurters, and they sell all bits and bobs, sweets, chocolates. And,
it's like a Christmas festival.
Yeah. So, and every so often, you have a beer hut, and there'll be an area where you can drink and stuff. But over one section of it, we call it the floozy and the jacuzzi. It's just like this statue of a naked woman in a fountain, and in that area, it's just bars. It's just literally like for adults. And they have live music going on in the top of the cabin. So live music's blaring pretty much for most of the day and evening. And it's just a whole bunch of adults drinking beers and mulled wine outside. And it tends to be, German beers. And everything's all like German themed, I suppose. You have to pay like how much would it be over the States? Probably about $7 for a glass.
Okay.
And they give you a token so you can get your money back for the glass if you want to at the end of the night, but most people just end up taking them home, hence the deposit. And you can buy a half liter, 1 liter, or 2 liter drinks, and everybody gets merry.
But, okay.
Yeah, as you can imagine, there's thousands of people that pass through that area, and
right.
the toilet areas they weren't cleaned. And I've got this thing about public toilets, like I just like them to be clean. I'm okay.
Now, I'm going to stop you real quickly. Just hold on. So. Yeah. We're talking about the Christmas markets now. I have a very good understanding of the Christmas markets. This very much seems like a
art and
wine type festival or a holiday festival we would have here.
Yeah.
Now, you started this off talking about kind of the COVID impact and how nobody was taking it seriously.
No.
And but yet the first thing you cited with the nobody's taking it seriously is you're upset over the bathrooms being unkept.
Yeah, like the
how is them, that like related to COVID? That's what I'm trying to draw the correlation here. I'm like, oh, maybe there's a mask thing, maybe there was no social distancing. No, they just were not cleaning the toilets properly.
They wasn't cleaning the toilets properly. So if you think of it from from a COVID perspective, then, and you look at touch points and all the other things, that if the toilets weren't clean, then obviously everything that you touch is potentially a risk. The queuing system was a nightmare. There was nobody like separating any people, and in the drinking areas, like everybody's sandwiched together, packed in like sardines. I just didn't like how close everybody was, but it was nice to go up there and it was nice to have a couple of drinks. But I don't think I'll be going again this year.
Just so, running anyway. Around yelling Omicron. Omicron.
Yeah.
Omicron.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So did you buy anything besides drinks?
I brought some beers. That's it. That's all I got. I'll come back with a two liter glass, which I've got a baby one now, a mommy one and a daddy one. So I've got all of them now.
Okay.
So that's happened. The Christmas market. I've been decorating. I've been decorating the front room, and because we've got a dog now, I've had to like section each parts of the living room off as I've been, you know, going around. So I make my own little border control, so the dog can't get in. I can like pretty much polyfill what I need to, sand off the wall, put my first white undercoat in, then two coats of paint. And I've had to do that for each section of like the living room. And it's took me an age, whereas normally it would take me like, I don't know, 2 days. So that's been a nightmare. But
now, where has Shell been in this picture? Has she been assisting at all, or is she just watching you do it?
Oh, no, she's been doing other things. Christmas decorations, preparing for Christmas card writing.
Okay.
She has helped me with a couple of things on the decorating front as well. But yeah, we've not stopped as far as work's concerned. We've not got much of a Christmas break. We've only got 2 days off. So we're working throughout the entire break. I don't know what you guys have got off, but
I'm in a similar boat. I'm very much in a similar boat. No real break per se. And I think we're kind of getting screwed this year because Christmas falls on the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know where January 1st falls, but I think it's leading into the weekend. So once again, I don't think there's going to be a lot of quote unquote days off.
No.
Yeah.
So, we're pretty much the same. We're working. So that's strange because usually we're off for a couple of weeks. But there we go. We were hoping to go away in January because I don't want to say how old Shell is, but it's a big one. Mm. And
80 is big. I know. It's huge.
Yeah, she'd punch you in the face if she heard you say that. I was hoping to buy a holiday for us both and go somewhere warm like Gran Canaria, which is it's part of Spain actually, Gran Canaria, but it's actually quite close to it's close in a way to Africa and where it is as far as the equator's going, and it's very warm. It's warm all year round usually in Gran Canaria. And with all of the travel restrictions and the tests that you have to take and the risk of you staying out there if you test positive, we're not gonna bother.
Well, look, if you are feeling daring, I believe Robin knows a guy that can fake all your documentation for you. So, you know.
Okay.
That's the only way I could possibly think he got his entire family's documentation done properly. They did luck out. They lucked out in all seriousness. But,
I think it's easier to travel through to America, isn't it, from Ireland, from Dublin, because you don't have to go all of the customs and stuff. Yeah. So.
Have to go through customs, but
you do. But you don't have all of the vigorous security checks, and it's not as bad, I think, if you've gone through Dublin's customs already. But anyway, so.
Robin just said hello on Skype.
Hello.
He's I think he's trying to try and invade our podcast, but we're not going to let it happen.
No.
Surely not, Robin. He wouldn't do anything like that,
would he? I don't think we're going to go traveling in January. Right. I think we're going to go I think we're going to be safe and go for a holiday in England. So I'm not even going to look at Wales or Scotland, because Wales and Scotland, they're starting to impose strict restrictions now that are stopping you either traveling around there or wearing masks all the time, or they're shutting pubs and non-essential shops down at certain times. It's just starting to get, I don't know, the walls are closing.
Are the whales doing this or somebody else? Because I take it as the whales were doing.
The whales are imposing.
The country.
Yeah, so it's been weird, you know, not to dive into the COVID stuff too much, but I mean, it has been an odd roller coaster. We've all experienced it, right? We were feeling like we were getting out of it. And then, of course, flu season came around. And of course, we had a spike in COVID. And then everybody started freaking out. Although everybody's freaking out about Omicron, when all I've heard is, well, yes, it's a little easier to get, but it's also way more mild than regular COVID. So, I mean, are we just talking about the flu at this point? And are we freaking out about the flu? I don't know. I'm a little confused. Yeah.
Well, this week I've been testing because I've got a sore throat. And a lot of people are starting to get sore throats and colds and stuff now. We had a family gathering yesterday. There was a whole bunch of us that met up. And we had a meal together, which was nice to see everyone. And a few of the family were also taking tests because they don't feel very well, sore throats, colds and whatnot. So, yeah, I think people are consciously doing that. It's nice to have that as a bit of reassurance, I suppose, but it is scaring a few folk. And I don't, it's really blown out of control in England at the moment, especially London. Numbers have gone up and it's a bit crazy. So yeah, that's I've heard that as well, Greg, that it's mild. It's not as harsh as the Delta variant or, you know, wherever it's come from. What else have I been up to? I don't think I've been up to anything else really recreational. It's mainly just been work. I've been like crazy busy at work. And I've got another couple of weeks before I have some holiday. So, yeah. I didn't come on last week because I went. Was it last week or the week before? I was meeting up with some friends, and I just couldn't get on the show. And then the other week, I had Leo.
You just didn't want to be bothered.
Slacker.
Yeah.
No, no. Totally. If I'm in, I'm coming on. Like today, I've got a sore throat. I'm on. I'm drinking Bucks Fizz to see if I can like get me in the Christmassy mood, but it's not working.
Well, the clear thing is you need to chug the bottle. That will get you in the Christmassy mood.
Yeah. It's only Bucks Fizz though. It's only light pop, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. Is it champagne or is it? Sorry, I'm not familiar. It's like champagne.
It's a zesty orange fizz. That's what it's described as.
Zesty orange fizz.
With a bit of alcohol in. Not much. Yeah, it's not really strong.
The orange crush with vodka in it. Gotcha.
Not vodka, no. Not strong as that, no. Yeah, so that's me.
All right. Okay. Kim, what about you? What's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, if you might have noticed, I kind of have a different angle on things. I got a new webcam mount that sits actually behind my laptop, and I can actually adjust it up or down or whatever, side to side.
Can you adjust it left or right?
Yeah. So.
Sorry. Just now, my wife currently is behind me on the floor trying to pull out my parents' Christmas gifts to wrap them. All I know is I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and I suddenly hear this shh, and she's slowly dragging it across the carpet out of the room. So I had to pause for a moment. Like, wait, next. Yeah, I'm like, are there like animals around here? What's going on? Anyway, okay.
I got that. So now I no longer feel like you're like looking up my nose, which is nice.
I appreciate that, by the way. We do.
I know, right? I got a couple of new graphic novels to start, so I will show you those. I got to, I'll try to, because this new webcam thing, it makes it weird, because I have to figure out where the hell it's at now.
The picture's quite Laura good, isn't it? Is it like is it an HD one, Kim?
My webcam is a 920. It's a Logitech HD. So
there you go.
Yeah.
It's yeah, they're nice.
Picture, though. It's a real
right? So anyway, the first one I got is Lore Olympus. It's it was big on the internet. It's about Hades and Persephone and when they met, sort of thing. It's like a Greek mythology thing. And then last but not least, we have Berserker, which is the one that Keanu Reeves did. I got the first volume of that. I haven't read them yet, but hopefully it's good. It sounds good, so I guess we'll see. Aside from that, Panda and Mittens are getting ready to lose their nuts in a couple of days, so that's a big appointment. I don't know. Is there anything else? I can't remember what I wrote in the show notes, so I have no idea. I have no idea. Since he was constantly giving me crap about it, I am drinking mead today. We have Old Wayfarer today. It's an oak amber mead, whatever that means. It's pretty tasty. I'm enjoying it. So, yeah, I think aside from that, that's pretty much it, I think.
Okay, so real quickly, I just want everybody to know, Robin is, you know, he dialed up on Skype. He sends me a message. Hey, I could drop in if you want. I basically told him we're set. We don't want to talk to you.
Is he bored on vacation already? I mean,
I know he's on vacation. Take the night. He's right? A trooper. I think, you know, he wanted to make sure we had the peeps. We're good. Robin, we love you to death. We want you to enjoy your vacation.
Indeed.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's plus.
Funny. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything further. Anyway, so Kim, do you have your next year calendars lined up yet? Are you ready for the new year?
Yes, I do have the latest firefighters catalog calendar for next year. So we do have that. So.
Well, thank God that one is coming back. I was worried for a second that we wouldn't see Beefcake and Kittens for
that. And year. I mean, I've got my effing birds, you know, daily calendar. So I guess I could start showing that one off too, I reckon. But not so many naked men in that one. Yeah, effing birds. It's birds that curse, which is nice. Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, I bought a sweatshirt that when it shows up, I will post a picture of that one. It's, you know, pretty good. So, yeah, other than that, we're all just getting ready for Christmas. I did finally get my two Christmas gifts that I needed to mail off, and they should be where they're supposed to go on Monday or Tuesday. So be on the lookout for those people who are getting them. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Mead, everybody. Mead. So.
Robin had said he will fuck off politely then. And I said, yes, you know, politely.
Fuck off. I mean, what?
People don't understand. When you try and bring people in, especially with the cams, the way they're set up, it screws up everything if they're not set up properly. So we love Robin to death, but no, at this point, I want to hear his tales next week, not today.
Right?
I'm not ready for it. I'm just
go
not.
And enjoy your vacation, dude.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. Yeah.
So it's been an interesting week. So we had the whole COVID restriction thing, you know, not to talk about this, but I mean, it did impact. We had Gavin Newsom laying down the law of like the state will mandate restrictions. And of course, where I live, the county where I live, we're pretty much like the redneck rebels of California. And so
welcome.
Yes. And so we basically the county said that they will not be enforcing the state mandate. Which was kind of, I didn't catch that part of the news at first. So like I'm going up to all these stores and they have these signs that are like, you know, masks required per state mandate. And so I'm being a good citizen. I put my mask on, and then I walk in the store and like at least half the store, nobody's wearing a mask. And I'm like, okay, that's you know, but again, our numbers do not reflect what the other part of California is going through. And this is the problem. Los Angeles has these huge spikes in COVID because it's just like people on top of people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't reflect the rest of the state. But Los Angeles being as big and populous a state, it seems like it runs the entire state in terms of policy, Drives me kind of nuts, but oh well. So we're dealing with all of that. We're getting our Christmas shopping done. We're pretty much ready. We're done. My parents are going to come down for Christmas this week. Hopefully they will avoid the snow. You know, we're going to have a nice Christmas dinner. Just spend some good quality family time. I'm almost done with the walking boot for my fractured fibula. So that I have to get x-rayed at the beginning of next month. And when that happens, pretty much I get the you know, oh, Larry, here we go. Robin's in the chat.
he
wants to talk about cock cages. No, but I'll get the boot will come off and I will be free. And honestly, I've been pretty. My boot wearing has not been as much as it should be.
Oh, now, you've been a rebel.
I have been. Well, mostly because it just doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just catching now Robin's comments in the chat. I need to ignore that. But yeah, so I'm excited to get done with being, you know, having a broken leg. It's in sight. I'm excited. So Netflix, you know, The Witcher dropped and I was like, oh, cool. I'll watch The Witcher. And I fired up Netflix. But the first thing I saw was season 3 of Lost in Space. So I said, The Witcher will wait. And I started watching Lost in Space. Don't give me that look there, Kim. It'll happen. Just don't you worry.
Get better.
I don't get all excited for Geralt like you do. Guinevere, different topic.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
Yeah. But Lost in Space, really good. Enjoying it so far. 3 episodes in. I like the fact that they took Lost in Space in a different direction than the original. And that it's not just the Robinson family.
Yeah.
They are constantly kind of re-engaging with other humans, you know, that are lost with them, so to speak. Yeah. I just think it brings a better dynamic to the whole story. So
I did like the original, though. Did you?
I liked the original. I actually liked the reboot movie as well. In fact, I actually really dug the song they did for that. I don't know if you ever heard that, like, remix kind of. I'll have to dig it up and I'll send it to you, Pete. It was a catchy little Lost in Space tune for the movie. And it was good. I enjoyed it. But yeah, so Lost in Space, it's good. Check it out on Netflix. And then once you're done with that quality show and you just, you know, feel like something else, I suppose you can catch up on The Witcher.
Well, I would think. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But no, Netflix, I was just surprised how much like content they dropped within. And also we've got the Boba Fett story coming out with Disney Plus. There's a lot of stuff coming. And I still have to finish Goliath. There's not enough time to watch TV and play games and the whole work thing. Just saying.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else that you guys would like to discuss?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, because you brought up The Witcher, and I kind of missed that. So, good on you for that.
Boomer said he always had a crush on Penny. I suppose at this point we should probably give an acknowledgement to the chat real quickly, Kim. Give a shout-out to those there, except for Robin. Right. We don't want to actually acknowledge his presence.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's kind of funny, but that's just me. Boomer is in the chat, and so is Lord, and, of course, Bongo. Anyway, so thanks for joining us in the chat. So.
Yeah, I love him too. He is like a wart on the ass. You know, you just he's there. He's with you. You never quite get rid of him. He's just comforting, I suppose.
I've not heard that word for ages. He's called you a pleb, Grid. Yeah, he says that he just wants to tune in audio only. And he called you a pleb. I've not heard that word for ages.
Pleb? A plebe?
Or
pleb?
A pleb.
I'm assuming that is plebe? Pleb? What's a pleb?
I'm going to Google it to give you It says, an ordinary person, especially one from the lower social classes.
Well, this fits Bongo to a T.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yes.
I'm still, you know, a little angry about my visit to Ireland and that Robin did not back me up on having ownership of the castle.
Well, anyway, you know.
All right, we're moving on. Hey, let's talk about some video games.
We must.
Day off, you like playing computer games.
All right. So, who do we want to start with? Pete, why don't we start with you? I know you have been playing. I mean, there was Rocket League. I don't think we need to get into Rocket League, but you have been playing more Days Gone. I'd like to hear thoughts about that now. Where's this sitting with you?
I really like the story. I like where it's going. I'm really enjoying it. I've got to the point now in the campaign where enemies aren't so difficult to tackle now. Even hordes. I've not destroyed a complete horde, but when I come across one, I'm not so nervous. And I seem to have a lot more artillery to handle them and more grenades and more storage. I've got more storage on my bike and I've got a bigger fuel tank. But like at the start, when you start this game, it feels like I suppose you could have a lot of handgun ammo and maybe like a bit of machine gun ammo, but it doesn't seem to last very long, especially if you come across a horde. Now, this game is pretty much. I talked about this last time I was on the show, but in a nutshell, you've basically put your girlfriend on a helicopter, and you've found out from the medic where she's going to be dropped off to because she's injured, and you stay with your friend. And
right. I think that's actually up on screen right now.
Yeah, basically 2 years pass. This is all at the start, so I'm not really giving anything away. So 2 years pass, and you still haven't found your girlfriend, and you're pretty much on the search for her, and yeah, it's not looking good. So it reminds this game reminds me of a cross between State of Decay to GTA. And I did say another one before, but anyway, yeah, it's a bit of a mixture of the games, and I do like the campaign. I think it's good, but I'm starting to get to the point now where I'm getting bored of. Do you know in GTA when you get called upon a lot and you've got to do all of these little side quests, but they're not very rewarding, right. And they get a bit repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost like the same type of thing, but you go into different locations. It's almost like that. And I'm starting to get a bit bored of that, but I'm really into the storyline. So I'm wanting to find out, like, you know, what's going to happen with certain things. And I've built alliances with three different camps now. And I don't know whether it's going to go Pete Tong or it's going to go... it's going to go the other way, where you're just friends with them all and you just find out about your girlfriend. I don't know. But, yeah, I find that some of the side missions are a bit repetitive. And there's also parts of the game, like I woke up one day and there's this storyline mission. It's called Remember Me, and it's trying to track down different things and memories of your girlfriend. And, again, I'm not really giving much away. It's not a real biggie. But I woke up one morning in my camp. And I went on my motorbike. I drove, I think it was like 2 kilometers, which takes you a while when you're driving around that environment. And I got there. I met up with my girlfriend. She showed me how to pick lavender. Then I went to a pool and picked up 5 pieces of lavender. And then there was a bit more dialogue and a little bit of a motorbike journey. And then that was it. That was the end of the mission. And it was just pointless. Even though...
Are you making candles or something with this lavender? What the hell?
Oh, medicine. But it was just... You know, there was a whole lot of pointless shit in there. I mean, they could have just, like, really abbreviated that. Condensed it down and just said, right, this is how you make... It just feels like they're stretching out the campaign
isn't this,
too.
Isn't this kind of the problem that a lot of open world games suffer from, is they have, you know, the saturation of these side quests and just little missions to make you do things, to make it feel like there's a lot to do in this big open world when they're kind of pointless.
Possibly, but in this game, I find that it doesn't really advertise well which is side mission or which is storyline. I think I've figured that out now. But because of the menu system and how all of the missions come about, you do all of these little side quests without you actually even knowing that it's a side quest or not, and whether it's part of a storyline. It's kind of I don't know. It kind of as soon as you get a radio call, you just want to respond to it straight away, and you want to get straight on it and do it instead of going through the menu systems and actually seeing if it's part of the actual storyline or it's something that's going to give you XP. But to a degree, I'm kind of happy that I have done them, because I've gained more abilities and XP, and there's skills that you can pretty much equip yourself with. The more skill set points that you get, and the more missions that you do complete. So in one sense, it has helped me as through the game, but I'm just finding some of the things really tedious, you know, like that picking of lavender. I just thought it was really crap.
I think about like a game like a Skyrim, where you have to go along, you're picking up ingredients, and nothing drove me more crazy than having to go around picking up all these ingredients, and like over like two thirds of the ingredients I never even touched, but I just had this bag full of shit that I was just like, I feel like I have to get it because I see it. But still sitting up there as one of your more favorable games, even though you've gotten a little bored with the side stuff.
Oh, I mean, if you compared it to like Assassin's Creed and The Last of Us, and I'd say that it would probably be at the bottom of the pile. But
okay.
I do think, you know, it's not like it's doing anything wrong. Graphically, it's great. The sound's really good, and gameplay and everything else. You know, it's an awesome game. It's just not as good as those others. I'm enjoying it. It's it's playing on the PlayStation as well. I'm actually using my PlayStation, I was like kind of leaving it there, like collecting dust for a bit, but now I'm starting to use it quite a lot. And I've also I've done the console share thing, you know, so where you can share games and stuff. I'm doing that with a guy at work. So we've ended up doing that last week, I think it was. So we've got more games in our library now, because we normally like to purchase different types of games. So
real quickly, and I know that so this is it's like news from last week, but I don't know, have you given any thought to the whole at least the rumors that PlayStation is going to be creating their own quote-unquote Game Pass service? Is that something that interests you? Or I mean, obviously it remains to be seen. I don't know how much you know about what that rumor was, but basically a three-tier system where they have kind of PlayStation PlayStation Now is going to be incorporated into it, but my understanding is it's going to be three tiered service. So you have kind of what you have now with PS Plus is going to be the base service. You then can upgrade it to level two, which would include PS1 and PS2 games in the PlayStation Now service. And then the top tier would also include PlayStation 3 and 4 games, as well as potentially PlayStation 5 games. That's at least the way I understood it. Where does that sit with you? I mean, are you excited to see that kind of subscription service come to PlayStation, or?
I didn't hear about it, I didn't hear about it. So now you've told me about it, I would probably buy into that, and I'd probably buy the top tier. And I think it's a thing that PlayStation fans are probably, a few people at work they've always bought into PlayStation and Sony and never had an Xbox. And I go on and on about Game Pass on Xbox, and I'm sure I do their heads in, but I don't think they realize like how how much of a great service that is, and you know, the benefit that you get from that. All they're completely driven by is the product and the brand, right. Sony, and they don't.
I should put in one caveat is you would not be getting day and date releases, at least for now. But my guess is this is Sony taking baby steps to get there.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's great. It's still giving the users a flavor of what's expected. And the other thing is you can get some Microsoft, you can get some Microsoft 360 classics, can't you? But it doesn't go, does it go back even further to the original Xbox? Does it?
Yeah, they do get to original Xbox games, but limited. And it's limited from the standpoint of the licensing deals that they have with any of these games. Sometimes they just can't get, because maybe the company no longer exists, they can't get the green light to bring that title to the service. And I imagine the same thing will hold true for PlayStation. There's just going to be certain games that they probably won't be able to bring up, you know, into the service. But it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate the waters of trying to give some kind of new release content. Because my guess is they might do that with third party. So, you know, maybe you get some of these PS Now exclusives coming day and date to the service. I mean, obviously, a lot of it is speculation right now and it remains to be seen. But it's everybody's pretty much, I mean, you know, come out with the story. So I think, I don't know that Sony has confirmed it, but it's codenamed Spartacus. And it seems like this is absolutely happening. But nobody knows really the finite details, the cost, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think the one thing that really made, there's a guy I talked to at work about Xbox. The one thing that really did turn his head about Xbox Game Pass was Forza Horizon 5 and Back for Blood being available, because when we look through the Black Friday sales on the PlayStation Store, Back for Blood was available and it was at a reduced cost, and I think it was around £37 to buy, which, you know, is a great deal for a £60 game or a £55 game. But when you look at the Game Pass service and what you get for your money, you know, and you get it there, it was day one, wasn't it? That I think,
right?
It's just, you know, it's a no brainer, isn't it, to sign up to that if you've got it. And a plus, the Xbox Series S, if you're not too massively like geared towards performance or you know,
the graphical
8K,
side.
8K, 8K monitors and stuff. You're quids in, aren't you? Because it's only £250 for the console. So, I'd buy into it, to answer your question.
Okay, fair enough. Kim, would you actually? Yes. Would? Okay.
Actually, I would. Yeah, because I mean, Game Pass. Look how great it is. So if PlayStation would do something like that, then yeah, I'd be all for it. So, because, I mean, I'm already got PlayStation Plus. Right. I've kind of looked into PlayStation now, but I've kind of just backed off of it because
it's not worth it, is it?
I already feel like I've got more games than I know what to do with now. But if they were to roll those into a, you know, something that I already pay for, which is the PlayStation Plus, and it's, you know, a value like Game Pass is, then, well, yeah, sure. I'd be an idiot not to. And, I mean, if your PlayStation Plus, of course, would roll into it, like, the Game Pass does with your gold and all that, then because I think I've got 4 years stacked of PlayStation Plus, so because I keep buying it when it's super cheap and adding it. So
yeah, I mean, I think we all do that with these services at this point. You hear about the sale, you're like, go,
right?
Kim, you played some Halo Infinite multiplayer,
believe it or not. And I'm not a big Halo fan, but I've been having fun with it, believe it or not. So, me and Boomer, we've been playing some multiplayer. Basically, it's the bot mode. So? But let me tell you, them fucking bots are something else. They're not like your random run-of-the-mill Call of Duty bots that, you know, you go over there and they're standing in a corner. You basically walk up behind them and blow their head off. No. These guys can kick your ass if you're not, you know, paying attention. Because God knows, they've kicked mine more than a few times.
Well, so, it's kind of cool in the settings you can tweak their capability, so to speak. So think of it like a difficulty level, but it's just to the AI bots. And it goes from like grunt all the way up to Spartan elites or something like that. And that will determine how effective they are. And playing against the Spartans, even the ODST level, they are, you know, they're switching weapons. They're doing flanking tactics. It is not just a walk in the park.
No, because for a while there, we were even wondering, are we playing against people or are we playing against bots? And then I noticed the 3-4 or the 3-4-3 in front of there. I'm like, they've got to be bots, but holy shit. You know, this is not a cakewalk by any stretch, but yeah, we're enjoying it. As a matter of fact, one of these nights we need to get some more actual people together.
100%. We need to, yep. We need to get some multiplayer going. Pete, have you given Halo at all a look? I know you on the multiplayer side, you looked at the beta that was out.
Yeah. And I didn't like it. So I've not given it any more time now. I've pretty much, all I've been playing is Days Gone and Rocket League. I just didn't, I mean, I know you were talking about, like, you know, all the different things that have changed with this game, but I still find it, like, really plain and boring. Just the environment, there's not enough going on. It's just all like concrete walls, and I know it's aesthetics, I know it is, but I just find the Gears like environment like more interactive and more exciting to be in. And like, this is, I just find it, like, it just looks like you're all fighting on an industrial estate.
But it's fun, it's, with friends.
It's interesting, and I wonder if that was just a byproduct of the map that you had played within the beta, because there are so many other varied maps that are absolutely outdoors. They're not in an enclosed environment. Yeah, so I would be curious to get your take on that, and also the campaign. That's another aspect, and that's obviously you know what I was going to talk about, because I have been playing the campaign fairly extensively. So I guess before we get to that, Kim, any other last thoughts? I mean, are there any particular weapons that you really like are favoring these days?
Speaking of weapons, on one map, there is a thing called a spanker, which is a bazooka. And the name of that thing just absolutely makes me fucking laugh. They're like, the spanker is coming. And I'm like,
who doesn't love a good spanker?
There we go. Right. And we like Oddball, the mode Oddball.
Okay.
And that one's. The only thing I don't like about Oddball is when you pick up the skull and you have to run with it, I feel like I'm in molasses because you don't move very fast. And that just makes my anxiety like go up to here. So, but I mean, like I said, we're having a pretty good deal with it. Like I said, we've only played with bots so far. But
if I can make a recommendation on the multiplayer side, play the Fiesta.
Okay.
The Fiesta playlist, if you will, because what it basically does is you will randomly spawn in with different weapons. Mm-hmm. So you can get awesome power weapons. You can get, you know, your run of the mill stuff. But it is, so every time you die and you respawn back in, you'll get a different weapon set. It makes for a lot of fun. And of course everybody's having that happen to them. So, you know, even though you may be at a disadvantage at one point during the match, then later on you might get some really kick-ass weapons and you just feel awesome. It also forces you to use a lot of different weapons, which is good because you start to get used to all the different weapons and kind of their strengths and weaknesses. So, I have played a little bit of the multiplayer, but I mean, I've dug my heels into the campaign now.
I'm waiting till the co-op on that comes out because, okay. I don't know. I'd rather play co-op, I guess.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how they're going to handle a co-op, to be perfectly honest. It's one of those weird things. Like, there's going to be two chiefs. Is it going to be one chief and one grunt? You know, that to me would seem more logical, is to have like one player that's the Master Chief character, and then the others would be either just other Spartans that don't look like Master Chief, or maybe they're actually just grunt characters. You know, the Space Marines. But I suppose we should see. Yes.
Sorry, but I'm still excited about the Space Marines announcement at the Game Awards. That makes me happy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get you excited for that. campaign.
Anyway, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, the campaign, if I can say, is pretty freaking awesome. I have very much been enjoying it. It has a little bit of that Far Cry, but I don't want to pin too much of that because, you know, you have the Far Cry, you know, bases that you take over. And so you do have a little bit of that, that in this. But the freedom that the open world map gives you, it just feels fresh to Halo. And I think they do it well in that it's not littered with icons that, you know, you're feeling overwhelmed. But there's enough there that unlike, say, Gears, where when you got to that open world map, it really was, there was nothing to that open world map other than going to a couple of different checkpoint areas where you would do a loading screen to go into the actual map to do something. Here, yeah, it all happens organically. They've woven the story in nicely within it so far. It is harder than previous Halo games. Even on normal difficulty, I find this to be pretty challenging. You know, just be prepared for that. It'll force you to use some tactics. The grappling hook absolutely is a game changer for the game. I feel like it brings Halo in line with Titanfall 2 and how that, you know, the grapple hook, if you will, kind of worked within that. But in Halo, unlike Titanfall 2, because I don't recall, I think Titanfall 2, you really only could grapple hook to things and swing around. Here, not only can you grapple hook to things, but you can grapple hook to items. You can grapple hook to other enemy characters. And so, you know, you can grapple hook to, say, a grunt, and it'll reel you in on top of them, and you basically deliver a physical attack when you make contact with them. You can grab the fuel canisters that blow up, and you can reel that into yourself, and then suddenly you're carrying it, and you can throw it at an enemy character. So it just creates a lot of different dynamics on the combat side, and then also on the verticality side, because you can scale mountains now fairly easily. You are not just relying on your ability to jump and catch a ledge. You're able to grapple hook up again, and you can upgrade your grapple hook to where your cooldown time becomes almost like nothing. So this way, you know, maybe Spider-Man is maybe a better analogy. You can literally, you know, just, you know, web sling your way up to higher areas, and also take that advantage of the, you know, the height advantage. So it's just been really good, and I'm so happy that 343 kind of figured out a way to make Halo feel relevant and current in 2021, as opposed to previous attempts at Halo. They either took it too far and it didn't feel like Halo, you know, like Halo 5, I think, was a good example of, it felt more Call of Duty than it felt like Halo, even though you still had the limitations of Halo. So I'm excited for it. I'd like, again, the way the campaign is unfolding, the voice acting, the storylines so far, all great quality, and has me engaged with it. So we'll see. And the upgrade mechanics within Halo campaign, they're not super deep. They didn't go the full RPG side of it like, say, a Lost Odyssey did. But there are items that you can upgrade. You know, you can upgrade your armor. You can also basically get multiplayer skins, if you will, by finding certain things in the campaign. So they kind of reward you that way as well. I will say, I do wish the armory had a better filtering system. So when you do get something new, it's really easy to identify what the new thing is. I don't think they do a terribly good job of that. And so that definitely would be one area that I would like to just be, understand what my rewards are and easily find them. There's a way you can filter through on them, but finding that and finding the filter took me a while. And then if I'm like, okay, now I can do this, but it's still a pain in the butt. It just, yeah, it's not as easy as it should be. But yeah, so Halo Infinite campaign, it's awesome. I can't recommend it enough so far. I hope it doesn't let me down at the end of the day. But at least what I've played so far, I think I agree with all of the critics that were giving it high marks. Cool. And the co-pilot so far, the pilot character, he's on screen right now. he's not annoyed me that much yet. And I know a lot of people kind of complain. I guess he is a bit of a, I don't want to say negative Nancy. He's a bit of a scaredy cat. He's constantly wanting to just get out of town. He's just like, let's leave. And, you know, it hasn't bothered me yet, but I suppose if that's all he ever says, maybe it will be. I don't know. We'll see on that one. But yeah, so Halo Infinite, Pete, get on the campaign. Check it out. I'm very curious to see what you will think of the campaign compared to what you play to other campaigns. You know, you have a pretty negative.
I do, yeah. I'll play it after Day's gone. I'll pledge that to you.
That is a fair pledge. We'll get the Pete Chin brand of approval or disapproval.
I'll play it to the end. I'll do the whole lot. I'll play the whole campaign.
Wow.
Do you know how big it is?
So my understanding is you can straight shot it, and they say, you know, I think the average person was saying if you just mainline the story 7.5 hours-ish, like speed running it. Normal playthrough, you're probably talking about 15 hours, and the completionist, they said, is going to be closer to 30. So
that's all right. Okay.
All right. You're committed, Pete. You are committed.
As soon as I've done Days Gone, I'll play that next.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, that I guess kind of takes us to the news. No real news to speak of. So, you know, and I'm trying to think of some of the things that happened. Now, one thing I do want to talk about actually really was more in story time, but it's game related. And that is there's a documentary series called, now I'm going to forget the name of it. It's the new Xbox documentary series, Power On, I think, the story of Xbox. It's a 6-part miniseries documentary. You can find it on YouTube. Each episode is about 45 minutes long. It is fantastic. They go through, you know, obviously it's the history of Microsoft and the Xbox console. But what's great is they do dive into Sony. They dive into Nintendo. They talk about some of that. And they even have like Jack Trenton from Sony. You know, they interview him for a little bit. They also don't pull punches on some of the struggles that the Xbox had. In particular, they talk about Kinect. They talk about Don Matrick. The Xbox One launch and some of the real big missteps that they made that kind of gave ground back to Sony and Nintendo, if you will. But anyway, from a gaming historical standpoint, I think it's a really good archive of kind of the journey of Xbox up until now. I think they could have probably spent a little more time talking about the transition from Xbox One to the One X and into the series consoles. That's a little niggle. Overall, it's just really solid and good. And something, again, you can digest it in just, you know, one after the other, or you can, as I did, kind of watch a couple episodes one day, a couple episodes the next day, and you know, finish it out. Pete, I did want to, so I posed this question now the past couple of weeks, and that is just kind of reflecting back on 2021. What games for you, like when you think about the year, what stands out to you? And it could be negative or positive, but I mean, what's had that impression or lasting impression for you? And again, we're not talking game of the year. We're just talking about, you know, when you think about 2021 and gaming right now, what jumps out at you as something that you remember and you think, you know, that kind of encapsulates my gaming year?
Well, I've got some positive and negative. Now,
okay.
One for me that I still didn't get to play this year, and I know it was released in 2020, was Cyberpunk.
And yeah.
That for me was a disappointment. I pretty much didn't play in September because of all the glitches I heard about, or what you experienced, Greg, and all of the mature content that you were revealing on on WhatsApp. I thought, well, I'll leave it then. I'll wait until this patch. And that was until they started to, you know, get their act together. And was that around April, May that they said that they were going to do that by?
Right. And then it's all this year. Shifted. Yeah.
And it still didn't work, did it?
So they were patching things. I want to say by summertime, at least the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4 Pro versions were at a pretty stable point. The base consoles, I think, still had a lot to be desired. But the next gen systems, actually, the game ran actually really well out of the gate. And they're not even patched for next gen. That's still going to happen. I believe it's happening in January. It's relatively soon, if not already.
Okay. But it is frustrating, isn't it? I mean, I paid that.
Yeah.
I paid for that day one, and it was.
So did I.
I think it was about £55, £60 pound, and I've not touched it. You know,
Mark and I went in halfsies on it, and I convinced him not to, because he talked about potentially doing a refund, and I was like, yeah, you know, we'll stick it out. And yeah. I played a good chunk of it, and then I stopped because I was like, well, I'll wait for the next gen patch, which hasn't come yet. That's a good one to reference.
Cyberpunk was one for me. Another thing that I felt was a letdown this year was Marvel Avengers.
Yeah.
I was expecting more out of that game.
Pete, one thing that I liked the first half of that game that I played. But what I noticed was you get to a point in that game and it's you establish contact with certain Avengers.
Yeah.
And suddenly the game seems like it was completely different.
Yeah.
It shifted. And I think this is when, originally they were going to make this a games for service kind of game. And so it went from feeling like a really well-crafted, good narrative, linear campaign.
Yeah.
Into this weird kind of hodgepodgey multiplayer, it could be multiplayer co-op. But also you felt like the store was always looming there. Buy this skin, buy that skin.
I felt like there was too much going on. My personal opinion was, what's the name of the female protagonist at the start of the game? The one with the bendy arms and legs. I'm trying to think of it. I can't remember anyway.
Bendy arms, legs.
Yeah, she's a super fan, isn't she? And she ends up.
Oh yeah, she's the main character. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yes.
So but you play as like the others, don't you, as you go on?
Right. Well, you transition. You were playing as her, and then suddenly it's like, nah, fuck her.
you guys play
as the Avengers.
if that game was focused on that young woman,
yeah,
and it was an entire campaign built around that woman interacting with some of the Avengers as you went on, and you didn't have to play, you didn't play as an Avenger, I would have been so happy because it was just nice to play as a different character and just be in a different story and to have them as a sideline. Even I thought that would have been a perfect idea, but
yeah, like the first encounter with the Hulk was really good. It was because the Hulk was really an adversary to you, and it gave you this. It was a very different vibe, and I was like, I'm totally down with this. And then suddenly, it all changed, and I had no interest in playing that game after that. Once it changed, I was like, yeah, okay.
No, so. I carried on a little bit, It just really disappointed me after that. I don't know what part it is that you're on about in that center console with all of the it's I can't remember what it was called anyway, but it just really annoyed me. So that was a disappointment for me, but on a positive now, because I am a positive person, and I tend not to dwell too much on the negative, but
we don't believe you.
No, honestly. And one shocker for me this year was Maneater.
Ah, yes. Okay.
I really enjoyed that game. I thought it was very different. It might have got a little bit repetitive towards the end, but
right.
I don't know. It's just a completely different concept on a game, wasn't it? Just playing as a shark, and I thought that was really cool. Another one is It Takes Two. That was memorable for me because that's the first game that I've actually played couch co-op with Shell, and she's really enjoyed playing that game. We've not finished it yet, but we've really enjoyed that game. And that, you know, if it wasn't for that game, we would have never played a video game together, probably. She was completely addicted to it. So that's a memorable one for me. And 12 minutes. I was dying to play this game.
I thought you were trying to stay positive, Pete.
I enjoyed it still, even though it was frustrating at times. I enjoyed that game. Yeah, I did. I put loads of time into it. I didn't get all of the achievements, which I was a bit disappointed about. But 12 minutes was what I was expecting it to be. I thought it was going to be difficult, simple in graphics, possibly frustrating because you're having to repeat yourself all the time. But the concept of it was brilliant. It's different. There was nothing amazing about the graphics. It was just a very simple game, but it was concise. The story was great. It had great twists. It's just something that really, you know, it really got my attention.
I think the thing that let me down with that game, and Kim, I don't know, did you play 12 minutes at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It was the control scheme for me. I was expecting a different kind of control scheme. I expected it to control more like a twin stick shooter would, with, you know, you're moving your character with your left analog stick, and instead it really was a point and click adventure game in a lot of ways. I struggled to get on with it only because of that. And I loved the concept. I loved discovering certain things because, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but I mean, like, you could interact with something and you would find something, but then you actually had the ability to further interact with those items. You just had to explore. And that, I was pleasantly surprised, I won't say anything because it's still new enough. Somebody might want to play it, Kim. But there oftentimes is additional things you can do with those items beyond what might be obvious. Yeah. So, I liked that part of it.
The other, it's not like the point and click system though was something where you had to navigate yourself across a huge environment. It was very simple, wasn't it? You was just in a few spaces. I don't want to spoil that neither because I'll probably point out a few things. But you'd only got a certain amount of spaces, and they weren't difficult to navigate around, I don't think. So I know the point and click's not the greatest control scheme, but it was it's not like it was difficult, I found. I enjoyed that game. So
all right. 12 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. I think they're my, to be fair. Oh, I've got one more. One that I was really shocked about, got really involved with and enjoyed. I just didn't expect anything of it because I've never played any of the games before, was Ratchet and Clank. Part, isn't it? Yeah. The new one for the PS5. I was completely blown away with that game. It was like playing in a cartoon movie. It was unreal. maybe a bit long, but God, it was so, so good. And it was intense, man. There was colours everywhere. I felt sometimes like my eyes were bleeding. It was pretty intense. There's a lot of games there that I probably wouldn't have really played before. I think I've changed as far as my gaming, my gaming style, I suppose, and the games that I'd normally pick. I tend to go more mainstream and stick to Call of Duty and. I bought Call of Duty from eBay. We went halves, me and Ryan, and the game only cost me. I bought it for £45 on eBay, and it was a digital code. So this is Call of Duty Vanguard,
right?
And So it was £45, so I only had to pay £22.50, same as Ryan, and we got the Ultimate Edition, so it was worth £100.
Right.
So we got a right deal out of that. And
nice.
Like I started the game, and like it just proved to me how old I'm getting now. Like that game, I started it in normal difficulty because you get the option of choosing easy, normal. Then it goes. I used to play it on hardened. I know my brother always used to play it on veteran. I used to play it on hardened normally before. I put it on normal. I thought I'll give myself a bit of an easy time. Fuck, I was struggling with that. So I could see like my reaction times and stuff as really slowing down. So I'm starting to scale down on the intensity of the games that I'm playing as well now. But I've enjoyed playing those games. I'm glad that I've reeled those off and not some real big, well, I suppose Marvel Avengers and would be an A-list game. But
yeah,
it's not one on play.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Kim, I know you threw the question out there and I saw Boomer's answer, but interestingly, based on his answer, I know we talked to you about this a few weeks back. I don't recall if this game was on a memorable moment, but do you kind of now, does that change maybe with you as well? Thinking about, so what did Boomer say? Let's get that out there. What was his disappointment?
I posted the question in the chat about what their letdowns or maybe surprises for this year was, and Boomer replied that Battlefield was a letdown for him because there was no campaign. So there's been quite a few that have been let down by the fact that there wasn't a campaign. I was not one of them because the only thing I used the campaign for was to get used to the weapons. That was pretty much the only thing I used the campaign for because my focus was multiplayer. Because I liked when Boomer and Mike and all of us would get together on a Friday night or whatever, drinking and shooting the shit out of bad guys or the other team, whatever. So, yeah. And I understand that because, you know, a lot of people seem to like the campaign and I get that. But for me, I could finish the campaign. I couldn't go back and tell you what the hell the campaign was about because it didn't really stick. Okay. So, and it's not just Battlefield. COD is the same way. I don't know how many campaigns for COD that I played and I couldn't tell you for the life of me what the hell is going on. It's almost like a Metal Gear Solid game because the damn plots are so contrived and confusing and, you know, what the hell is going on? So,
I mean, so I obviously don't have any skin in the game with Battlefield. It was a game I was potentially going to buy, but I ended up holding off. And the glitches and the challenges it was having, I think that it really was what steered me away from it.
Right.
Is that something that, you know, did you experience a lot of that or did you just move? Because it kind of seemed like you've moved on from the game.
Well, kind of, because like I said, I bought it for the multiplayer aspect. I don't really like playing them by myself, but if I don't have anyone that's going to play, then like I said, right now we're playing Halo because it seems like I can get people to play Halo, but Battlefield is a different story because a lot of the usual people I play Battlefield with didn't get Battlefield. So, you know, I go where the people are, I guess you say. So
it's Pete's fault.
I don't know. Right. But, so I don't know. And I bought it. I bought it day one. It was $72. I don't know. Maybe I've got a deal. Got a deal on it. Or maybe $65. I can't remember because I got the one that had the Series X and the Xbox One version. So that way I could play back and forth. Because apparently if I got just the Series X version, I couldn't play with people on Xbox One or however that deal went. So that's the one I got. So it was like $62 or $65. Anyway, you know, it's not the first time I bought a game and then didn't really do anything with. But thankfully, because of Game Pass, I don't do that very much anymore. So if I only buy like one game a year and, you know, don't do anything with it, I'm okay with that. And who knows? Maybe once they get more things ironed out and the glitches taken care of, kind of like Battlefield 4, maybe we'll go back to that and, you know, fire it up again. It's one of those things.
Fair enough. Okay, well, I suppose we can transition off this topic unless there's anything else either one of you thought, Kim. I don't know if there's any other games that you thought might jump to the list for you.
honestly, I guess more that I play it kind of Halo Infinite, but mainly for the multiplayer because I haven't played the campaign yet. I am kind of surprised because I am like Pete. I wasn't a Halo fan necessarily, but I am liking the multiplayer part of it. Ooh. So, and that's a surprise.
You've been corrupted.
I know.
She's come to the light side.
It has been fun, even though, like I said, the bot's been kicking my ass like no other. And I don't claim to be a good player or anything. I'm more of the pray and spray method when it comes to fighting. So, yeah. You know, but it's been fun, and that's surprising. And I guess maybe another one, maybe, and they're older games, because it seems like this year that's all I've kind of managed is to get my pile of shame and kind of catch up. And that's been Halo 4 and Halo 5. You know, I can't believe they were on
deep, the deep plunge on Halo.
Right. So balls
deep.
Yeah. And then there was Gears. Those were good this year. So.
Oh yeah, because you didn't play the. Is it Gears 5?
It was 4.
I played 5 and 4, and I did them backwards because that's me. But Yeah, so go figure. I don't know. Like I said, they were older games, but for me, they were fun. It was nice to dive back into that Gears mythology and the story and see all the old, the older. I can't say old because after that Harmony fucking thing today, I just aggravated.
God. Let's real quickly talk about this, Kim. You got a ad promotion from eHarmony to you.
An email. Of all things.
Yes, email from eHarmony. Suggesting that there were local seniors in the area that you could check out.
Apparently I am now officially a senior citizen, or maybe I'm just looking for a sugar daddy. I don't know, but that's just I saw that.
Let's go with the latter, Kim. Let's go with the latter. It just sounds better.
God, I don't know, but
I'm sure we've got plenty of gilfs that listen to this podcast. So you know,
I don't want to think about that, Pete. I do not want to think about that.
Anyway. But if there are any gilfs that listen, please don't bother Kim.
Yeah, be it. She'll tell you
to fuck off.
Then picks.
What? I forgot one more game.
Okay.
Please. Yes.
Chess.
Oh God. I should have known.
I forgot. Anyway. Yeah.
That should tell you a lot, Pete. That should tell you a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Bless you. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let us talk about some new releases. Kim, do the honors if you wouldn't mind.
Will do, because actually, believe it or not, last week when I did the show notes, I went all the way down to the end of the month, and that's what they had. So apparently they're adding more as we go along, because these were not on the list last week. So.
Okay.
So for now, these are, and some of these are already out, but they weren't on the list last week, so here we are. These are the new releases for, 2 days ago and further into the future, because there may be more before the year's out. Who knows? We have Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance for the PC on December 17th. Among Us, the Crewmate Edition for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch on December 21st.
Among Us.
And Lacuna. And we have Lacuna for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on the 21st. And then we have Lacuna again for the Switch on the 28th. And those are your new releases.
Interesting that they're like separate dates. You'd think they would just come out together.
Right? That's, well, a lot of other things do. Because like Among Us is. So, I don't know.
It's kind of also, strange. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. That was a game that disappointed. I really had higher hopes for that.
Well, what was it? I saw on Twitter some were complaining that the glitches on it were, I guess, pretty terrible. So I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I think for the gameplay, ultimately, it felt like you're the typical shoehorn kind of co-op game where you could only play as one character. It didn't have, you know, when I think of Baldur's Gate and I think of D&D, I think of, you know, customization and creating your character. And while the Baldur's Gate story obviously follows set characters within the Baldur's Gate universe, I still felt like they lacked that real customization aspect to it, of just kind of making it you and your own.
Right.
Mark and I played some co-op with it. We had a fairly good enough time with it, but ultimately it just felt like it fell short of the promise.
Yeah, I kind of same way. I didn't get any co-op on it, but I tried playing it by myself, and I like the characters. I've read the books, well, most of them anyway, because there's like 4,000 of them. And I liked it for the most part, but it felt like a multiplayer game, and of course I was playing it by myself, and so that kind of sucked. Plus, it took me a while to figure out that once you died, I didn't actually have to start all the way back over, and because for a while there, I didn't realize you could set up camps.
Right.
And so I would die, and of course that would put you back at basically the beginning, so you'd have to run through all the same shit again. So that yeah.
Walking this game sucks.
And I didn't want it to because I like the elf and all that shit. But
right.
Yeah. And then finally I'm like, oh, camps. But by that time I was already pissed off and put off enough. I'm like, you know what? Unless you guys want to play, I was done. Right. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. All right. I know we don't have any victories achieved. We are at the end of the year. Regardless, we're thinking about what we're going to do for next year. We haven't come to a firm conclusion on if we're going to replace it. We're going to do something slightly different. But just know that we will at some point have some kind of new victories achieved contest, if you will, for the community. But it's taken a bit of a hiatus, you know, and hey, we're at Christmas time, so it's a perfect time to take a hiatus. Pete?
Yes?
If I were to say, if I were to say to you, where do you think you could find this podcast? What would you say?
I would say the best place or person to go to would be, what's her name? Nicole. She's got a great voice, and she can advertise it way better than me. But you can email us at podcast@ocpod.com. You could tweet us at @OC_podcast. And we're on Facebook as well, which is fb.ocpod.com.
Right. Soon probably to be Meta for some god.
Yeah. Reason. Yeah.
I still don't know why they changed the name.
Don't know.
Yeah, and what's really funny though, because I actually do have quite a bit of business dealings with Facebook, and it's this weird thing. Like sometimes they're talking about Meta, sometimes it's Facebook, and it's like, well who are you? And I think this is actually going to be a problem for them, because it's like, who is your actual identity? Are you Facebook and you just have Meta as part of Facebook, or is it Meta is now Facebook? Anyway, that's a totally different topic for a different day, and I don't want to get myself in trouble, so I'm going to shut up.
But we're also on WhatsApp as well, so we've got groups on WhatsApp if you want to be part of those. Some of them, we talk just, you know, absolute trash. Some of them we're talking about shares and stuff. But we've got a whole bunch of stuff on WhatsApp, so if you want to be part of that as well, just get in touch with one of us. We'll put you in the right direction.
Exactly. You know, it's that time of year also. Look, we are your community. So lean on us. Never feel like you're alone.
Right.
We're just one big happy family. Kim, why don't you...
Okay.
Never mind. Kim is now going to direct you to any problem you have, reach out to Bongo the Sane. But no, Kim, seriously, let's give a shout out to the chat. I think we had, I don't know if we had any additions to the original group or not, but I want to make sure we get the do shout out for them and take care of that.
Alrighty. In the chat, we have Boomer and we have Lord. And of course, Robin jumped in there a little while ago before he went to go eat with pirates.
Yeah.
Go figure. You bastard. So thanks, fellas, for jumping in the chat and keeping me busy over here, you know. And I'll put questions up here every once in a while when I remember to freaking do it, you know. I'm surprised they haven't fired me from this job.
We've tried several times.
I'm like a bad penny. I just keep showing up. So, So thanks for coming along and then joining us for the show and, you know, keeping us occupied. Because otherwise this thing would go completely and totally off the rails. So.
That's true. It is true.
Cock cages and all that, you know.
Pass it to me. Pass it to me.
Pass it all right, Pete.
That was a good cue, mentioning cock cages. I jumped up with excitement. I'm gonna shout out one. I was looking on the Twitter account just making sure that there was no victories achieved, and I noticed that there was a message from Ian Bitdead. So that's at BitDead77.
Yes.
Just want to shout out Ian for mentioning us on a list of podcasts that he listens to. And yeah, just to check these great podcasts out. And we got a mention in there. So thank you very much to him. Never spoken to him before, but there we go. And I'm also going to share to someone called Ryan. So that really badly socially distanced Christmas market that I went to, we were going there for Shell's colleague who has finished working for the NHS to go and live in Austria. Well, travel around Austria, I think, for a few months on a skiing trip, and her and her boyfriend were going there, and his name is Ryan, and I was talking to him about gaming and the show, and he ended up following us and, on Twitter, and followed that cheeky bunch called the Veteran Gamers as well. He listens to podcasts all the time, and he's like, oh yeah, I didn't realize there was he was talking about gaming podcasts. I think it was more like YouTubers or something that he follows. Mm-hmm. But he was like, yeah, give us your stuff and I'll follow you. So he ended up following us, and I'm sure hopefully he'll be listening to a couple of our shows, and then he'll probably unsubscribe. Of course he's not going to, Kim. We are podcasting gold. Yeah, shout out to Ryan as well. And that's pretty much me. I'll hand you over to Greg to close us off.
All right. Well, thank you to the two of you, of course, for making the show and sticking with me as I suffered through my technical snafus at the beginning, getting it all dialed in. But I think the show went off with relatively ease once we got it rolling. Shout out to my computer that was – I literally think my computer was weighing the odds of should I just shit the bed and not work ever again, or should I actually start up? And so after three different reboots, it finally, started back up. So
and it's not that old, is it?
No, it's only like 2 years old. It's only like 2 years old. So the only thing I could think of is maybe it was doing some kind of Windows update in the background, because that's the other thing I hate Windows does is it'll update and you don't really get on-screen prompts, but the computer is just like finishing the update. Drives me nuts. But yeah, that's a different problem for a different day. Let's see. Shout out, Kim. I will give your Kansas City Chiefs a minor shout out for the win.
I wasn't even going to mention it, to be honest.
Now, it was a fantastic game. Definitely entertaining. Even if my Chargers lost, I still walked away from that game being
I stopped watching after Mahomes threw that one that ended up bombing in the fucking end zone. After that, I was like, fuck it, we're done. That's it. And I shut it off and I went to bed. So you can imagine my surprise when I woke up the next morning, flipped my phone over and checked the score, and then we fucking had won.
Yeah.
I was just as fucking surprised. So
it was good. It was
and
a good game.
And his brother is a jackass. I'm putting his, that out.
Well,
now.
Yes, we have established.
If he can ditch his fucking brother and his girlfriend, I think he'd be a hell of a lot better. Because, my God, if there's two bigger ass clowns in this fucking world, I have not seen them. Anyway,
I can't add to that. Soapbox. Yeah, no, that's probably the good way to sign off on the show. So on that note, don't be an ass clown and have a great Christmas. Be safe, everybody. Enjoy time with your family. If you are on the bit, on the poorly health side, we wish you good health, quick recovery. And just know you have a family here at the Overseas Connection podcast. And on that note, we really are going to shut up now, and we are going to say adios.
Bye. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.